Public Radio International.
From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, Knights of Columbus of Racine is having a fundraiser on Friday, November 14th at St. Edward. It starts at 6:30 p.m. Proceeds fund donations that the Knights make to local charities. Enjoy games, raffles, prizes, and food. St. Edward is located at 1425 Grove Ave.
Support comes from Carthage College. Learn more about the Master of Social Work program offered at Carthage in partnership with Loyola University Chicago. An information session will be held Saturday evening, November 15th, beginning at 6. To RSVP, call 551-6300.
Support comes from Gateway Technical College. With two-year business management degrees leading to good-paying management careers in sales and marketing, real estate, financial services, warehousing facilities, logistics, human resources, and many others. For more information, go to gtc.edu.
Support comes from Kenosha Winter Harbor Market in the lobby of the Roadie, 514 56th Street, featuring BSW Meats, steaks, roasts, ground beef, bison, goat and lamb, and grade A brown eggs. For the complete vendor list, visit KenoshaHarborMarket.com, Saturdays from 9 to 1. This is WGTD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Breakfast Bites, a program designed to help you navigate computer technology and the Internet. The show is hosted by Felicia King of Quality Plus Consulting, and airs the first and third Saturdays of every month.
Good morning. You're listening to Breakfast Bites, and this is Felicia King. Today's show is about advertisement-delivered malware. You may think this is not that big of a deal, but it turns out to be an enormous problem, and it's not really all that hard to protect yourself from these situations. So I'm going to try to explain the problem and then tell you what you can do to protect your computer and your systems from these advertisement-delivered malware. There's a piece of this that is also, why are advertisements so attractive as a thing to be utilized to hack people's computers? Well, I think the answer to that should be fairly obvious. As you run around on the internet, you run into advertisements that are embedded in websites. And so these advertisements are designed back at some central advertisement store, and then they are linked into all kinds of websites. So the advertisement vendor, they're just really interested in getting their advertisement out there on as many websites as possible. And the advertisement vendor is not really, they're not a security company. So security is not their focus. And that becomes pretty obvious when you see how many, or on a percentage basis, how many advertisements are actually delivering malicious content to your computer. So let's talk first about what is malicious content in terms of how, you know, you guys know what malware is. However, do you know what all the categories are of how it can be delivered to you? Maybe not. So let's talk that through. First of all, there are literally tracking cookies. Now, those are probably the least offensive flavor of advertisement-based malware stuff. And if you have proper security strategy in place, those things will not get to your computer. So, for example, let's say I take my laptop, and I'm using my laptop at my office. So I have three layers of, at least three layers, possibly four, at least three layers of cookie blocking and advertisement blocking going on. And so I'll be browsing the internet. You know, normal websites, even typically you're looking at newspaper websites, and as you know, newspaper websites have a lot of embedded advertisement content in there. So when I'm at my office on my laptop, I have not only a perimeter security appliance, but I also have host-based security product. I use Trend Worry-Free Business Security Services Edition, and it's fully programmed to stop advertisements. And I use a cookie management and awareness program called CookieWall, and I use a custom host file. So that custom host file itself does a lot of blocking. The perimeter security device does a tremendous amount of blocking, because I have this huge list of places that cookies can come from, and it just strips those right at the perimeter device, so they have no chance of getting in whatsoever. So let's say I then take my laptop and I go over to another network where the perimeter device is not there. So the perimeter device is the one piece that's been taken out of that equation. What I find is, obviously, I still have my cookie awareness program, so I still have a sense of what's going on, but and I still have my host-based security product, and I still have the custom host file. But because that perimeter security device is not part of the equation, and I'm not saying, like, I went to Starbucks. I'm saying I went to another network someplace that is utilizing a perimeter security appliance that I didn't program myself. Because if I would have programmed it, well, don't you think it would have all of those security features in there? Well, of course it would. So I notice when I'm looking at newspaper websites, as an example, huge quantities of these tracking cookies are coming through. Now, because I have this cookie management and awareness application called CookieWall, I am able to see these things and go, delete, delete, delete. And CookieWall programmatically inspects and allows me to tell it to remember to delete or to remember to allow certain cookies. So it's a very nice management application. And something that you might enjoy is that CookieWall is free, and if you're interested in learning more about CookieWall, there is an article on qualityplusconsulting.com that talks about CookieWall and how to use it. So I don't need to go into more detail on it here, because you can go look that up. So just from a cookie perspective, having a perimeter security appliance in place that is correctly programmed makes a world of difference. Just a world of difference. I mean, it's just astonishing. And I actually have a little shock factor when I go to some of these other networks. I'm like, wow, look at all that stuff that my perimeter security appliance is doing. And then, you know, I high-five myself and go, yeah. And I, of course, then wish everybody would utilize a properly programmed perimeter security appliance. So that's one category of malware being delivered by advertisements. And yes, cookies can actually deliver malicious code. Yes, they can. They're not just naughty because they track you. They're naughty because they can actually be hacked and they can be an attack vector or a delivery mechanism for nasty stuff. So now the second category is, because there's really two primary categories. The second category of advertisements is stuff embedded in websites that is not a cookie. So videos that may be utilizing Flash or JavaScript to be delivered. And if you have a security vulnerability on your computer, meaning you have an unpatched version of Flash or you have an unpatched version of Java, then those things might get through. It could just be a static advertisement that's displayed, but again, the code for it may have actually been hacked on the back end. So the way that these things work is you've got a website and you want to get advertisement revenue, so you put advertisements embedded into your website, and you do that through syndicated content. And as the website administrator, you set up a pane on your website that says the pane is this size. And then the pane, whenever somebody loads this website, the content for that pane will be delivered from this other place. So you as the website administrator really have no control at all about the code that is in there. You are embedding a link. Effectively, you're embedding some code that says, every time somebody goes to my website, display them the linked content. So the people who are in charge of what that content actually ends up being are the advertisers. So again, what is the purpose of the advertisers? well, they want to get their advertisements to as many computers as possible. They also want you as the end viewer, the viewer of the advertisement, to click on it and then to do things. What they do not have as an objective is to make sure that their stuff is not hacked. You may recall a few months ago, I think it was probably about 6 months ago by about now, the Yahoo malware problem, where Yahoo's European advertising servers had been hacked, and they were delivering up a remote access Trojan that made utilization or took advantage of a Java vulnerability. So if your computer had the latest and greatest version of Java installed, then you would not have had this malicious code executed on your computer. However, a lot of people just, they just really do not have a plan in place. And as a result, they might as well just be running naked on the internet for as much as I'm concerned. I mean, that's pretty much the best metaphor for what they're doing. And in this circumstance, they were running around naked on the internet, and then the malware delivered from that advertisement was able to make utilization of the Java vulnerability on their computer, the unpatched version of Java, and it executed and installed remote access Trojans. Now, remote access Trojans are just absolutely horrifically bad. I mean, they are pretty much your worst nightmare, other than, you know, the targeted access operations team. But that's a whole other topic. So you need to understand that advertisements really need to be blocked. Any which way you slice it, advertisements just need to be blocked. If advertisements, and I'd say if 90% of the time, you can be certain that the advertisements on a website have been hacked. If you have that high of a probability, then you need to just categorically block advertisements. And you need to do it in whatever way you can be effective. So what I have personally found to be effective, and I utilize this technique on probably about 5,000 computers, and this technique has been tested for a period of in excess of 6 years. So I feel pretty confident in telling you that this is a very effective layered defense strategy. So number one, you have a perimeter security appliance that does cookie blocking, not all cookies, but selective cookie blocking. You have to be intelligent enough to give it a list and to program it for that list. You utilize deep content inspection and application control at the perimeter security appliance. You utilize a proper host-based security product that also blocks advertisements and is properly programmed. And then I do recommend a custom host file on top of that. And, of course, you have to patch your systems. And, of course, you should not be browsing the internet as an administrator account. Now, you may say, okay, what if I do all of that? Isn't there still some, like, new vulnerability out there that's going to take advantage of me? Well, if you have a properly programmed perimeter security appliance, that thing gets updates like at least once every hour as far as signature definitions for nasty things. It also has a lot of intelligence built into it about, oh, it looks like a nasty thing, it smells like a nasty thing, and it's acting like a nasty thing. So I think I'm just going to block that. And that's exactly what a properly programmed perimeter security appliance will do for you. I mean, it does a whole host of things. If you actually want to learn all about security appliances, there is a very in-depth article with a wonderful example posted on qualityplusconsulting.com. Just go to the resources section and type in the word security appliance, and you will find that article. So this whole thing about blocking advertisements really is coming to a head again. And I've been talking about this for years. I mean, I've literally been blocking advertisements for at least 10 years because I saw that they were a very high percentage attack infection vector against a bunch of computers that I would then have to go and look at. The worst offenders, absolutely the worst offenders, were children playing free games on the internet, or yes, it's true, adults do play free games on the internet as well. And anytime I found somebody that was playing free games on the internet, what was happening is that not only were the games hacked, but the advertisements, which were just ubiquitous on the websites where the games were at, the advertisements were hacked. And all of these things were attempting to be delivered. Now, oh, I have another really important point for you to understand. I got a frenetic email a couple weekends ago from somebody who was spazzing out that they could not install the latest version of Flash because they did not have administrator access to their computer. So they were on a website, and the website was prompting them to install Flash. Now, the reality of the situation is that their computer already had the latest and greatest version of Flash installed. I could prove it because I had actually patched that machine through Systems Management Platform approximately 3 days prior. I knew exactly what the latest and greatest version of Flash was, and I knew exactly what version of Flash was installed on that computer, and I had auditing and quality control documentation to prove it. So what was really happening? Well, what was happening is that this person was going to a hacked website. It happened to be weather.com, in case you're interested. I don't use weather.com because every time I've ever looked at weather.com, there's something going on there that I don't like. Either it has a bucket load of advertisements or it has some other suspicious content. I prefer IntelliCast myself. So I had to explain to this person to, you know, basically relax and stop freaking out that actually your computer does have the correct version of Flash installed. And actually, it's a darn good thing you don't have administrator access to your computer because you would have just installed malware. You should never, and I mean never, ever install a software update from willy-nilly website. If you need to install Flash and your computer is not hooked up to a systems management platform, then you go to Adobe.com, and you don't go anywhere else. No, you only go to Adobe.com in order to get the Flash installer. Because if you go anyplace else, the probability is that they're going to be delivering to you executables that have malware embedded in them. It might actually install Flash, but it might also install malware. It's called a malicious add-on payload. And this has actually been found recently on a Tor node in Russia, but that's a whole nother story. So the same thing is with Java. You'll find sometimes where a website will say, oh, well, you need to install the latest version of Java in order to work with our website. Well, the warning bells should be going off in your mind, and then you should go, whoa, I'm going to get away from that website there, because that website is probably hacked. So fortunately, the security strategy that I have in place for that computer of the person who spazzed out, that security strategy actually saved their computer. So their computer was just fine. And the solution was go use IntelliCast instead of weather.com. That was the solution. So let's talk some more about this advertisement stuff and look at some of the most recent things that are going on with it. It's pretty darn bad. There's actually an article that Thomas Fox Brewster wrote recently, back in September it was, and he was talking about how the internet's madmen, so he's talking about, you know, the advertisers, really need to get secure because millions and millions of computers continue to be exposed to what is called malvertisement. So I don't know if he's come up with that word or what, but it's basically advertisements that deliver malware. And he said in the last 2 months, malicious ads have threatened to lump malware on millions of visitors to last.fm, which is a website, to Yahoo, and to many more. And he cites statistics from Malwarebytes, from the security firm Malwarebytes. He says the former was, so last.fm was hit following an attack that appeared to stem back to the ad provider Zedo, which was funneling its marketing content through Google's DoubleClick network. So anyone who visited the site and ran old versions of Flash or Internet Explorer risked being infected by the ZMOT Trojan, which was then used by attackers to install further malware. Yes. The Yahoo case that was spotted in August, that was the thing I was telling you about before, was this week it was detailed by British-born security company Bromium, that's their name. They uncovered recent malvertising attacks delivered via dictionary.com and answers.com. So, you know, you think that dictionary.com and answers.com are perfectly fine websites, and actually I would argue they probably are perfectly fine websites. They're not the ones who are giving you the nasty content. It's these embedded advertisements. So in Thomas Fox Brewster's article, he's got a really nice little diagram that talks about what is malvertisement, and I will put up a link including with this podcast that shows that, so that takes you to this article so that you can check that out. And there apparently are quite a bit of malvertisements being delivered via YouTube. Now, I actually have quite a lot of experience with this because, again, my strategy for the last decade has been to block malicious content being delivered through advertisements. And it's a little complex, but it's not hard to do. And it's not hard to manage once you have a strategy in place. So let's say you are an IT manager and you have 200 workstations or more that you are responsible for, even 100, I would say. It is well worth your effort to get in touch with a security consultant like myself to say, hey, help us put in a strategy that is going to reduce our risk profile associated with these malvertisements. And in fact, I have even small organizations that I work with where they have less than 30 knowledge workers that have computers. They have less than 30 people, but they still have these systems in place. And the reason is because as soon as you get to the point where you have one computer accessing the internet, you really need to have a perimeter security appliance. You need to have a host-based security product. You need to have some sort of cookie management, monitoring, controlling application. And you need to be not browsing the internet as an administrator. And the reason that I say that is because even the cost of one breach exceeds the cost of implementing these security protections. So even for just one computer, you've got to be patching your systems, and you've got to have all of the other steps in place. Now, if you are wondering, oh, gee, Felicia, what are all of these steps associated with having defense in depth? Well, I wrote a really nice article for you that is called The Computers and Security Self-Assessment. So if you happen to go to qualityplusconsulting.com, you will find the Computers and Security Self-Assessment. And when you look at this list and you go through it and you evaluate your situation, your systems, versus what is included in there as far as a feature set, then you can find out where the gaps and holes in your strategy are. Let's talk a bit about CryptoWall, which is a virus, and I actually know somebody that got this virus. And what did they have in place to protect them? Well, it was kind of a calamity of errors. First of all, they did not have a system image. They did not have a properly programmed perimeter security appliance. They did not have a host-based security product. They were browsing the internet as an administrator account. And no, they didn't have any cookie management, anything. I mean, it was just truly a catastrophe of errors. Oh, and they weren't patching their system either. So at this point, I can't even begin to tell you which layer of defense failed, because there really weren't any. But what I can tell you is that you don't have those layers of defense in place, you will. It's not if. It's you will. It's only a matter of when. You will get your computer hacked and it gets crashed. So in this circumstance, this person literally had their entire computer encrypted with this ransomware called CryptoWall. So it was very similar to CryptoLocker, and CryptoLocker, I'm sure you've heard about it because it was even on the mainstream television news channels. And so CryptoLocker and CryptoWall both get on your computer. They grab all of the data on your PC or your server or your attached network or whatever it is that it has access to. It steals it. It uploads that data into some, Russian, Chinese server, wherever. Then it encrypts all the stuff on your PC and any other connected devices that your PC has access to utilizing your network credentials. And then it displays a ransomware message. So it says, fork up money, and we will give you a decryption key. Now, first of all, it's $500. Yeah, it's $500 for the decryption key. The problem then is that let's say you're silly enough to actually pay them the money, because I do not advise that. You don't pay terrorists. That just incentivizes them further. So instead, let's say you had backups of your data and it was elsewhere and you were like, you know what, fine, I'm just going to blow away this computer. You then have to go through the effort of saying, number one, how old is this computer? Is it worth me investing the time in this computer? Do I have the installation media for the operating system and all the other stuff on the computer? And in the meantime, I have no computer to use. So there's huge cost. And if you're sitting there at home, driving around, thinking about there really isn't any cost to me. I don't need to spend any effort at all putting in a security strategy for my systems, because I'll just rebuild this thing, or I'll just hire somebody and they're really cheap and maybe they only cost $200 to fix it. The question you really need to be asking is that really going to be a fix? You need to understand there's these things called partition viruses, which unless you blow away the partitions, your computer will be reinfected. There are firmware viruses. Unless you literally reflash all the firmware on the computer, maybe on the hard drive, maybe someplace else, that can be utilized to reinfect your computer. There are also USB-based viruses. It could be that you had a USB flash drive plugged into the computer at the time that the virus got on the computer. It then infects the USB flash drive. You go and rebuild the computer, and you never did anything with that flash drive. Well, that flash drive is just going to reinfect that computer and all other computers. And just on that note, and I know I've talked about this before, but at this point, I have to recommend that you do not put a USB flash drive of any shape, size, or flavor in any device ever. Not until there is actually a fix for bad USB. Because right now, there is no fix for bad USB. So if I wanted a USB flash drive, I would go to the store and I would buy one and then I would use it. But I would not utilize that flash drive between computers, and I certainly wouldn't share it around.